The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. Like many of you, a part of my morning routine, along with my morning prayers, of course, is checking several news sources just to stay up to date with the best, with what's going on in our area, in our state, our country, our world, and in our church. And I am here to confess that occasionally I do not give certain important stories the attention they deserve, because maybe I'm busy and rushing off to the next thing for the day, or honestly, it's sometimes I'm selfish and just think, I don't think this story impacts my life at all. It's way too far away, so I really don't pay attention until later and I realize it's a big deal and I have to pay attention. So an example that I'm kind of embarrassed about was back in September when Queen Elizabeth died. I knew she was the queen, and I prayed for the repose of her soul, but it wasn't until the subsequent days that I realized that her reign was 70 years long. She was the longest reigning queen in recorded history. It's probably a story I need to pay attention to. So I obviously did, and you really couldn't avoid all the headlines that were going on there. Another example of this failure on my part actually took place a decade ago. I remember I was in my second year of theology in seminary. In 2010, there was this big story of the mining accident in Chile. So, and Chile is the top producer of copper. So there's mines all over the place, and copper is used for building construction equipment and electronic products. And in August of 2010, one of these mines kind of collapsed and trapped 33 miners down in the bowels of this cave. And they say that, you know, accounts later on that the dust that was stirred up by this catastrophe stayed in the air down there for like over 6 hours. So they couldn't even see a thing for over 6 hours. But in the end, it was just darkness. So they were in there. They eventually made their way to kind of a little refuge shelter area, a cave in the mine. And they found food rations there that will last maybe 2 or 3 days, but not much longer. And otherwise, they waited and hoped. Meanwhile, above the surface, and we're talking half a mile below the surface of the earth, to give you context, I think it's about 8 football fields way down there. Above the surface, you see the Chilean government and everyone else doing whatever they can to figure out how to get down there and see if anybody's alive. They took the massive machinery and started drilling deep holes in this hard rock, hoping that, you know, eventually that would drum up something that someone was down there. It actually took until the 12th drill, days and days later, that eventually, and you can imagine this from the miner's perspective, this drill coming through the ceiling of this little cave, giving them this glimmer of hope that somebody's trying to come after them. And when they pulled the drill out, they said they attached a note to it saying, there are 33 of us down here, we're doing okay. So this effort went on. They were down there for a total of 69 days. And the first thing they actually asked for, beyond food and drink, they actually asked for a crucifix, a statue of Our Lady, and holy cards of the saints so they could pray down there. Most of them were Catholic, and they wanted to have hope that the Lord hadn't given up on them, which is quite beautiful. So eventually they make this shaft that was wide enough for one person at a time to come up, one by one. And when they got out, they largely did not have any lasting medical conditions, but they lost on average like 18 pounds each. And some of you are probably thinking, that's what you have to do after the Christmas season? It's like, find a cave for 2 months and voila. But at any rate, you can tell, I found initially I made the mistake of not really paying attention, but as the days went on, it captured my attention. You can see why. Now, there might be some thoughts going through your brain right now. One would be, Father, I think the pulpit's a weird place for you to do a public confession of your news reading habits, and I would agree with you. And then the other thought you might be having in your head is, Father, that's not exactly a Christmas story, it's Christmas. And that's where I would disagree with you. This is not a Christmas story, but it encapsulates the Christmas story. We're talking about ever since Adam and Eve's sin, their rejection of God, and the effect spiritually that caused was an avalanche, causing darkness and leaving humanity in gloom and trapped by their own sin and mortality. We didn't wait 69 days. We waited centuries. We waited thousands of years to be pulled out of this situation. And we were holding on to a promise from God, our loving Father, a covenant promise that he would not give up on us and he would come after us. I think of the prophet Isaiah, who beautifully writes, can a mother forget her children, her infant? Even if a mother forgot her infant, I would never forget you. And of course, then we get Isaiah's prophecy today in the first reading, where he talks about the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in a land of gloom, a light has shone. Tonight is the night we realize that the Lord has come for us. And it makes sense because later on in his public ministry, he described himself as the Good Shepherd, who would be willing to leave the 99 to go after the one lost sheep because they belonged to him. He said that he had come to seek and save what was lost. And this makes more sense of why the shepherds had that great privilege of being the first ones to approach the Christ child. Yes, because Christ said he was the good shepherd, but they were literally in the darkness too. They were out on the night watch. They were holding vigil too, that they knew their spiritual condition. They would need a Messiah. They were attentive, and there the angel gave them really good news. Good news of great tidings of joy. And they did not ignore it. They did not say, it does not pertain to me. They didn't say, maybe I'll fit it into my calendar. They went with haste to Bethlehem to see this child in the manger. And we should probably make a point clear here about Bethlehem. They say that for all of those who had livestock, they would indeed have a stable for them, but it wasn't a physical wooden structure they would build above the surface of the ground. They would actually take digouts of the rocky area and make that the shelter for the animals. Effectively, Christ was born in a cave. It's as if he wanted to tell us he's coming down for us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Now, if you've heard this news before, and I presume you have, that's why you're here. But if you've heard it before, but not given it the attention it deserves, I beg you tonight, peer into the manger and realize this child was born for you. This God has descended to you. He has come into this world to save you. He wants to reunite you with the Father, and Jesus, this child, is the only way to get there. We need saved from the outside, and only God can do it. And it's what the theologians call a beautiful, holy exchange, where divinity descends and takes on humanity so that humanity might be capable of divinity. Tonight, the Christ child is looking to you. He's looking for you to respond to this news, this all-important rescue story. He wants you to love him. He wants you to believe in him, to cling to him, to surrender to him, to adore him, to worship him, to thank him for never forgetting about you and never giving up on you and keeping his promise. We are in the perfect place to do all that tonight. And I don't just say that because we're the best parish in the world. We're the most humble too. We're in the right place tonight because this is the perfect place to adore him and to thank him. This is how he wants to be thanked. It's a reminder that the mystery of the incarnation, God taking on human flesh, was not a one-time event. It happens every time we have Mass on every altar in every Catholic church throughout the world, that the Word became flesh and dwells among us in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. How does the Lord want us to thank him? He wants us to let him give himself to us in his body and blood. And it's that body and blood, the Eucharist, that sustains us in the interim while we wait for the glory of heaven. And we hold on to hope like those faithful miners in the cave. We're sustained by this sacrament that gives us the grace to continue on and to come in union with the Father. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he becomes flesh among us here. Bethlehem, the innkeepers, they heard the news. They shrugged their shoulders. They closed their doors. They figured that news doesn't pertain to them. But we know this is life-changing news. It's no longer distant. It's near to us, and it changes us. And this is what Christmas joy consists of, the knowledge that God has found us. He has come after us. It's the greatest news in the history of the world. The Christmas story is a rescue story. We're reminded tonight, he came for you.